Okay, let me put you saying that give us a bodhicitta, then all beings my guests, as give us this supreme bodhicitta. So what is this meant by this? Which means that all sentient beings, we must make all sentient beings happy, we must make all sentient beings glad and happy through our generation of bodhicitta. So if we give rise to the six perfection or ten perfection, and so what we say is that do practices that make sentient being happy, make sentient being happy, and so may all sentient being to be free from anger, greed, etc., and not wanting anything in return from sentient being. That to make all sentient being happy, all these actions, all these things are known as the Bodhisattva's practice. So when we say that such as generosity, now what is generosity? And for example, we give something to the beggars and saying, oh, we do not want this, so we just show it to others, and it's not a respectful kind of attitude to give others. And even towards these beings, we must also have a kind of very respectful attitude even towards beggars, and not just respect them but also make them happy, and to respect all of them, to make them happy, so that the meaning of making all sentient being happy, a rejoicing form of bodhicitta. So as we just say, if a kind of a disrespectful attitude, even if you give it to them, this is known as an impure kind of a generosity, impure generosity. And we talk about the negative disadvantages of that. We must have a respectful kind of attitude to give them. If we have a respectful attitude, even as a small little offering such as $1 note, will become a big offering. So therefore, even if we give things that we do not want to others, and disrespectful to you, even if it's a big offering, then even if it's a big offering, the merit will be small. So this kind of attitude, which no matter what we do, even if it's just giving or any other action, so long as what we give is for the sake of all sentient beings, but to be Buddhahood for all beings, but also all beings to be Buddhas, so me and all sentient beings together attain Buddhahood. With this kind of attitude, even if it's just one offering, we will become a pure offering, and any kind of action which will allow us to proceed towards Buddhahood. 如果说他就是很不错的结果，那么小学生的朋友。 So therefore, can we say that for the sake of all sentient beings, I want to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings? What's meant by this? Which means that through this, no matter what we do, the six perfections or any other kinds of actions that we do, this kind of pure motivation for the sake of all beings, wanting Buddhahood for all of them, with this kind of motivation, everything that we do will become pure. So with this kind of very great kind of mind, we give rise to bodhicitta. Any kinds of action will become a cause for us to attain Buddhahood. So that's what is meant by to attain bodhisattva vows, we must be able to do this kind of motivation, this kind of mental attitude, and with these then we can attain the pure bodhisattva vows. So after these, after we attain the state of Bodhisattva vows, we must be able to keep the Bodhisattva vows well. So what is it that we must keep? The Bodhisattva vows, there are 18 kinds of root vows, the 18 root Bodhisattva vows. So at the beginning we say that to praise oneself and denigrate others, now, which means that to oneself they always praise that, oh, we are very good, others are no good, so we are actually denigrating others. So this is a kind, this is a transgressing of the root vows. So for ourselves, as we were sentient beings, bodhisattvas are concerned, all beings are good, I'm the only one that's no good, all the faults are because of myself, and this is a kind of attitude that bodhisattvas have. And with these, he serves sentient beings, with these, the bodhisattva practice bodhisattva path and do not do disadvantages of having the wrong kind of attitude, we may transgress the bodhisattva vows. No, I said just now, the first one is that to denigrate others and praise oneself. Next one is that, which means second root vow is that for someone who wants to request for Dharma, they request for Dharma, but we do not want to teach them, and there is a kind of selfish attitude, not sharing the Dharma with others, because we do not want to give others, share Dharma with others, then we will transgress the second root vow. So generally speaking, if someone has no respect to the Dharma, then we don't teach them Dharma, that's fine. But if someone has real devotion to the Dharma and don't share the Dharma with him, then this is wrong.
我们这个大众的工作，这个呢，你怎么办呢？你怎么怎么怎么理解？
So generally speaking, the third root vow, meaning that if others have some kinds of difficulty with us and we feel resentment towards the person, and even the person actually say forgiveness from us, no matter what, we don't forgive him and we want to hit him, as a bodhisattva is concerned, he or she cannot do that, because a bodhisattva, the third root vow, if someone has done bad things to us and whatever the person has done to you, really has done something wrong to you, we must forgive them. We cannot actually hold a strong view that, oh, you are now my enemy, you are wrong. And so if the person has said forgiveness from us, I shouldn't have done that, and then we just hold the resentment and do not want to forgive the person, then if we do not want to forgive this person, we have transgressed the third root bodhisattva vows. So because we do not want others do not want them to become an obstacle or enemy on a path to Bodhisattvahood, then we must take all beings as our guests. If they actually make confession to us and do not want to accept the forgiveness, then we will have transgressed the third vows. So if we say that there's no such thing as Mahayana, there is no Buddhahood fruits, etc., if we say like that, and this kind of person holding bodhisattva vows, and then he has no faith in the Mahayana, then he would be transgressing the fourth root bodhisattva vows. So, for example, we say, there is no such thing as Mahayana, there is no Nagarjuna, there is no this great Mahapandita, etc. We say this Mahayana doctrine is not true, is not authentic, and if we hold up this kind of view, then we would have transgressed the fourth, or rather have broken the fourth root bodhisattva vows. So, for example, is taking all sentient being possession as myself, for example, in a Buddhist temple, in a monastery, the Buddha images, and we think that all these images are ours, and even if it's not ours, we just use them for our own use, we just take it for our own use, and this will be broken, a breakage of the bodhisattva vows to the fifth one. So if we things that's offered to Triple Gem, but it is for example, offer anything to the Buddha, such as that of the dressing to the statue, the robes to the monks, all these belong to them individually, and even the robes given to the statue belong to the statue. It doesn't mean that it belongs to mine or it belongs to anyone's, or it belongs to the person owning the statue, and the person who owning the statue shouldn't use the robes, the brocade for the statue for themselves. So therefore we say that this sponsor, and some sponsor may think that, oh, this is mine, etc., and they just take things that's been offered out, and these are all wrong, and these are all transgressing on the root bodhisattva vows. For example, we say that taking whatever belongs to the Triple Champion to ourselves, which means that it is a kind of a forceful acquisition. For example, like Buddha statues, and this Buddha statue, no matter how it's being created, or the person safeguarding the statue, may think that it depends on how the person uses it. It can't be used for individual purposes. It can't be used for to fulfill one's personal wishes. For example, the Buddhist Sutra, the person is not the only the one who publishes a finance publication of the sutras and have the right use of them, and others can't do it. This also regard to the Buddhist stupa. There are people who safeguards them, and it's not that it doesn't belong to anyone in particular. And if anyone want to acquire them forcefully by themselves, which means we are taking whatever belongs to Triple Champion for own personal use, and that's a breakage of the Buddhist Sutta vows. So, for example, like ourselves, the Three Great Monastery, they have their respective libraries, and each of these libraries have their own. We use the books in these libraries for our own personal use. Examples of these books that's been published, we sell them, and the money that come from the sales of these books can only be used for certain ways. We can't get the book from the sales of our books. We can't use them for monks' food, etc. And these uses, these finances of their own personal use, have been use for ourselves, then it will be kinds of fault associated with them. So the person the finance associated with respective item can only be allocated towards its corresponding rightful end. For example, generally, what is meant by Triple Champion? Triple Champion means they have their own respective authority. The Buddha have their own authority. The Dharma, means the text of their own special areas, and the Sangha have their own special autonomy. So as to say, it doesn't belong to anyone. And there are some fine, subtle distinction between the three. So like we say, for example, the next root vow is that, oh, this Dharma is so difficult to practice, we shouldn't do it because it's so difficult to do the Dharma, and to undergo a lot of austerity practices, and so it's so difficult, to do the Dharma, then don't do it. So if we think like that, we have broken another root Bodhisattva vows. For example, we say that generally speaking, when the right Dharma is concerned, if anyone say bad things about the right Dharma, and they will have always a suffering, they won't have liberation, they won't have happiness, and they will always incessantly face suffering and difficulty. So therefore, we shouldn't actually have a wrong attitude, say bad things about the authentic Dharma. Yeah. So now what we are saying is that the next vow is that causing monks and nuns to disrobe, and some are forcefully taking away the sangha ropes or taking the brocade belonging to the Buddhist images. We shouldn't be forcefully acquiring them, because these belong to the statue, those belong to the monks and the nuns, these ropes. So, the kinds of the five kinds of limitless action, and if anyone commit these five limitless actions, immediately they shall fall in the Avicii hell. And beside Avicii hell, there's no other place for this kind of person who's committed the five limitless heinous actions. Now, next one, we are saying the five heinous actions. What are these five limitless heinous actions? The first is that the person is most kind to us, which is that our parents. So if you are saying that towards our parents, if we kill our father, and then the first one, and the second was to killing our mother, the second heinous action, the third one is that to kill the Arahant and to shed the blood of a Buddha, and then to make the Sangha disaggregate, to separate the harmonious Sangha assembly. So generally speaking, the person is most kind to us are our parents, and especially the mother. And when the mother is being pregnant for 9 to 10 months, giving birth to all of us, and then later on she should give us food, drink, etc., and bring us to school and spend a lot of money and taking care of us. So usually we kill the mother, and then definitely it can constitute one of the heinous actions. So therefore, because of this, the mother is so kind to us, and instead of not remembering the kindness and not repaying the kindness, instead we kill her or them, and all these very negative actions, there's nothing even worse than that. So this constitute one of the five heinous actions. So therefore, if we say to kill an Arahant, and so the Arahant is already no defilement, there is no greed, etc. So Arahant's the merit is very great. So if you actually kill an Arahant, then it will constitute one of the five heinous actions. Thank you. So generally speaking now, just shedding the blood of a Buddha, and a Buddha when he's teaching, the Buddha teaches so we have liberation, so we'll be free away from the suffering of samsara. So therefore, because of this, we dare not, we are not grateful to the Buddha, but instead to injure a Buddha by shedding his blood, and these will constitute another heinous action. So, like for example, we say that is what is meant by breaking up the harmonious sangha. So we are going to this group of sangha saying the other group's bad thing, and to the other group saying the first group's bad things. So because it is a very serious action, and this is one of the five heinous action, because this is actually creating disharmony between in the sangha, creating disharmony between the sangha. So like we say, for example, there's Shariputra and Mangalyayana, and so all there are this group of eight sangha, because when this sangha, because actually they are at disharmony, but because of Shariputra and Mangalyayana, they are able to make them come together and be good friends. Because of that, they become harmonious. So similarly, we should make the sangha stay in harmony with one another in a group. So therefore, these are the five heinous actions. The five heinous actions, the worst is that of the breaking of the sangha. Now breaking up the harmonious assembly, if the sangha is not in harmony, the country will also not be in peace, the place will also not be in peace. Which means having harboring wrong view means that there's no four noble truth, there's no karma, there's no realization, there's no enlightenment. All these are harboring wrong views, and harboring wrong view is a neck breakage of the Bodhisattva vows. So therefore, we say that the horrible thing is that once you give rise to a wrong view, and your Bodhisattva vows, you give rise to wrong view, then everything that you have done, all the good virtuous actions that you have accumulated, will immediately be wiped off. So this is a very scary thing, actually, to harbor the wrong view. I don't know. So therefore, we say that if having a wrong view, once you give rise to the wrong view, anything that you do, no matter how much great virtuous collections you've done, instantly everything will be wiped off. Similarly, this is due with anger. For example, anger burns away the forest of merit, or the good actions they've done in the past. It's just like a flash of anger which actually burns and incinerates away all any good virtuous collections that you have accumulated painfully in the past. So therefore, all the good actions have all been gone, has all been destroyed. And how is that? That is because of harboring the wrong view. What's wrong view? The wrong view, by saying there's no karma, there's four noble truths, there's no triple gem, by giving rise to this kind of wrong views, immediately all these virtuous roots and merit and good actions have all been will all be destroyed. So next one we are saying the next root vow, meaning that such as example, the city, if we set fire and because of authority and the ability to destroy a city, then if we do that, then we will have transgressed, broken the next bodhisattva vow, regardless of whether it's a town, a city, it's a big or a small one. For example, teaching the idea of emptiness to the wrong party. For example, there are people who will not understand emptiness. If you tell them, oh, there's no me, there's no ego, there's no I, the person will give rise to great trauma or fear, or giving rise to a wrong view, saying, if that's the case, everything is completely empty, it's void. And if we anyhow teach emptiness to people who are not ready for it, then we have again broken another root bodhisattva vows. If there's anyone who wants to accomplish a highest Buddhahood, and we tell them, oh, it's so difficult to attain Buddhahood, it's almost impossible, and make the person regret wanting to attain Buddhahood for others, then we have broken the next Bodhisattva vows. So the next one, as we say, for example, Vajrayana, these tantric practices, if we say that for someone who's not ready for Vajrayana and give them and tell them to give rise to wrong kinds of idea, the wrong views, etc., towards the tantric vows, all these are things we shouldn't do. For example, the next one is that if someone is keeping this self-liberation vow, tell them, oh, keeping a pure vow is so difficult, forget about keeping pure vows. And by telling them it's difficult to keep pure vow, then we again we have broken the root bodhisattva vow. For example, we say that self-liberation vow, there are eight kinds of liberation vows, that of the layman, the laywoman, and for the shramanera, for the female novice, for the fully ordained monks, and nuns, so there are eight kinds of self-liberation vows, and these self-liberation vows, towards them, and towards the celebration vow, which is, oh, it's so difficult to keep these vows, why keep so many vows, for what? No one could do it, and they give rise to regret and do not wish to keep the celebration vows, then we as a bodhisattva would have broken another of our root bodhisattva vows. by causing the other party to regret keeping the celebration vows. So Rinpoche is saying that if anyone towards the Dharma is not respectful, then we shouldn't tell them and share the Dharma with him. For the Buddha to say, we shouldn't tell the Dharma to disrespectful parties. So similarly, if you tell this Dharma, then we would have invited some scolding in return. But at the beginning, we shouldn't be teaching Dharma to disrespectful parties in the first place. Just our celebration vow is now saying that everything. So it means that everything is when we're teaching the Dharma by saying a wrong kind of claim, by saying a realization and supernatural attainment, all these are serious kind of a speech transgression. By saying that one realization when one doesn't have, then would have broken another of the root Bodhisattva vows. So all these serious claims or speech things, for example, you say, I only realized emptiness, the reason realizing emptiness, supernatural power, I dream of Guru, I see the Yidam, etc. All these things, the person has done it, the person need not have told others. And if you tell others, this could actually constitute a kind of a big kind of lie, a serious kind of speech transgression. And by doing so, we will have broken another root Bodhisattva vows. For example, we say that we don't even know what other kinds of speech the transgression we've done, but some people really say, oh, I've seen the Buddhas, I've seen the deities, I even see ghosts, and they are saying they see the Buddhas, see the ghosts, see the Maharas, and say, oh, I can speak to the Buddhas, to the Edams, to the deities, I can speak to the gods, etc. Realize the wisdom, realizing emptiness, etc. By saying all these things are going to transgress the root Bodhisattva vows. So next we are going to say that taking Buddhist, the Triple Gem's property is our own. Anything that belongs to Triple Gem, we can't use it for our own use. We can't say I made the offering, so I can use it for ourselves, we can eat it ourselves. Actually, we can't do it. We can't do this. So some people will say that actually this person doesn't keep the vows well, but then we say that, oh, this person keep the vows well. If you make the wrong statement, this again is a speech transgression. Mm-hmm. So even now, if you say what we have just said, is has what just said, and that was the number 17 root vow. Now the last 18 root vow is to give, is to give up bodhicitta mind. So if we give up bodhicitta mind, then we will have broken the bodhisattva vows, which is the 18th root vow. Now, as we say, we cannot see the faults of others, and if we actually their faults belong to others, or they steal or do other bad things, then we keep on saying, oh, you did such a horrible thing, you are bad, and we only see other people's fault, then this is something that we shouldn't do. We should not only see other people's faults. So if you say that if this person really has fault, and we should not expose it in the public, saying, oh, you've done this wrong, that wrong, we should actually see if there are any other causes or condition, there are chances where we can tell them privately that actually you're doing this is not so good, perhaps you should we should rectify the action, and not to reveal that in public. So there are others who think that regretfully said doing the wrong things, for example, any good actions that we have done, but then towards the Buddhahood, for example, you make regret saying that I will never be able to attain Buddhahood, I'll never be able to give rise to Buddhist, I give rise to regret to virtuous action. This is also a transgression. So next one, if you say that right from the beginning, if you give the bodhicitta and keep the bodhisattva vows, and then sometimes we are not going to do this, and we never able to do this, I cannot attain Buddha for all sentient beings, I never able to help or see all sentient beings as a guest, and even by saying that, we have transgressed another of the bodhisattva vows. For example, if we say to make all sentient beings happy, and especially to make the guru happy, a guru, the teacher, we should always make him happy. We don't make them happy. For example, we say that without any sense of regret, for example, they've done bad things, they have no sense of regret, and they don't feel bad, and they don't even see it as a fault, and don't even think that it's a fault with this kind of attitude. And this will be trapping us in samsara, keeping us here, and these are the four kinds of big bonds that keep us here. We need to get rid of these bonds that is keeping us to samsara, to sever them. Means not feeling bad, not feeling not doing or rejoicing in it. Rejoicing, the feeling is bad, not knowing it's bad, and not feeling regret about it, and by doing it bad and still rejoicing in it. So therefore, things that we've just said are not just, and we think that it is not something that is shameful, that is, which means that not feeling shame, not feeling regretful. What is there to say? Have we done it? So not thinking that that is something is wrong. So this again is not feeling regret for things that are wrong, and that's a transgression. So if you say that the thing that is something not to be ashamed of, just do it, I've done it. So if it's done, it's done. So there's nothing to feel regretful about. So by feeling so, it's a transgression. So it's a kind of the four bonds that keep us in samsara, and others rejoice still in the things that have been done wrong. So, we say that no sense of regret, what does it mean? Yeah, regardless of others, sorrows such as our parents, if parents, if we did something wrong, they tell us about it. We go into left ear, comes out the left and the right, and then we do not take heed to the warnings and the advice they give us, not listening to advice of others. That's the meaning of without shame or without regret. So all these bad things, the worst kind of bad karma is the worst kind of worst karma is without regret and without guilt, maybe without guilt, without regret, without shame. For example, the eight kinds of 18 root Bodhisattva vow, the 16 kinds, if you do bad things, you rejoice in it, or you do not see that it is wrong, and then there's no sense of regret, and no sense of guilt, no sense of shame. With these kind of four bonds, these four bonds actually are present, and the root Bodhisattva vows we have to broken, and the 16 kinds of Bodhisattva vows can be completely broken through these four kinds of so-called bonds. Two kinds are not regard to this, are not affected by this. One is with this sort of vow is harboring the wrong view, and by saying there's no wrong, by harboring the wrong view, or giving up bodhicitta, and this is also a transgression and broken at the root vows. So, if you say that with all these four conditions being present, this kind of four bonds that being present, and if the four bonds are present, then out of the 18, the 16 kinds will be broken, and the giving up bodhicitta, harboring wrong view, is not affected by these four bonds. But some people say on top of the words, and the words are four bonds. But some people say as long as I don't accomplish the four bonds, then I will have broken. But this is also wrong view by itself. Give up the bodhicitta, then we have broken the vow, but even having wrong view itself is so broken. So really have to see we also have to see whether these four bonds are present for us to have completely broken the root vows. Let me clarify. Some people think that if these four bonds are not together, I have not broken the vow. But by holding this view, this is also a wrong view, and that also broke a root vow. So actually, Rinpoche is saying that of the 16 kinds of root vows, this is the root vows, we need this kind of four kinds of chain or four kinds of bonds. If we're saying these four bonds or four chains, if they are present, then we have broken the root vows. So regardless of what kinds of vows, but only giving up rice, giving up bodhicitta, and harboring wrong views, but it would be broken. Or by giving up bodhicitta, you break vow. By harboring vow, you break vows. So even so, therefore, because these two are not doesn't need the four bond, therefore sometimes it's taught of the 16 root bodhisattva vow instead of the 18. So sometimes this root vows means a transgressions or a downfall. Downfall means what? If you give this kind, the mind giving rest, things like that, and if you give mind giving rest to that, that will come be a downfall. And if you have broken that, there's a downfall. And downfall to what? Downfall towards hell. So generally speaking, now it's meant by downfall. Downfall actually downfall towards what? Downfall with regard to three lower rhymes. The three lower rhymes where you have to experience suffering, there's meaning of downfall towards. So like we say, what we just said, as we said earlier on, if you receive the Buddhist, purely receive the Bodhisattva vows, and we ourselves should actually keep all these 18 root vows well, and should keep these 18 root vows well, and then and if you keep this vow, you'll be able to enter the deep path, and to keep the Bodhicitta vows and practice Bodhisattva path well, if you practice these 18 root vows properly. So generally speaking, in short, there's a very short summary of all these 18 group Bodhisattva vows. If you want to elaborate this in detail in a very wide manner, wide coverage, and we'll actually talk about and we don't have much time, so we're not going to elaborate further. So essentially, today the time is about now. It's about the same time. It's about the same time. So yeah. So in short, in summary, I'm saying that it can be the pure Bodhisattva vow. You can actually keep the Bodhisattva vows purely, it's good. If you cannot keep it well, it's a transgression. You just try your best to keep the vows. So in short, today time, this is it for today.